Okay, then please welcome José Manuel Ortega, who will give us a talk about security in open source projects.
Okay, thank you. Well, afternoon, thank you for coming. My name is José Manuel Ortega, I'm from Spain. This is my first time here at FirstCon. And well, I was conference for sharing knowledge and projects. Well, in this talk, I will talk about security, basically what are the main problems that we have in security when we are working in a project with a developing team and with people and so on. What are the problems that we have from the security point of view, and what are the tools and the process that we can use for adopting best practice in our organization, in our team, and so on. These are all the conferences that I have made in the last years. I have conference, for example, talking about security in different many languages, like Node.js, Python. I also like security in Docker containers. With Python, also I have talk about microservice and serverless projects. All these conferences are available in my personal blog, on my personal page. And also in YouTube you can find other conferences related with security, mainly with Python, because it's the language that I most use for testing the security of applications. I also have other presentations related with security in Node.js and so on. I also like writing about sharing my knowledge with books. We have book series. This is the first book I was writing the last year, Master in Python for Security and Networking. Basically, this book covers topics from building a network, from the different processes you need to follow to security your network. Or applications in general. You'll first be introduced to different package in Python and libraries related with detecting vulnerabilities in servers and web applications. The second one I have written about Python is this, Learning Python Networking, that covers topics like socket programming, how to design servers and event-driven architectures with Celery, Redis, and so on. And also there is an introduction to web applications with Django and Flash frameworks. That are the most known web frameworks for programming in Python. Well, this is the agenda. This is the main point for the talk. Basically, in this talk, we will look how open source projects can manage the security. Basically, we will review tools for detecting vulnerabilities and dependencies of our project and in our code base. Finally, we will review techniques and tools for improving security in open source projects. Well, the main problem we have in open source projects is that security is always a secondary concern. The primary goal of software is to provide functionality or service to our users, for example. And the managing associated risk to the software we are developing always is a derived or secondary topic, secondary concerns, and is basically the security is not a priority today when we are developing, when we are starting a project. And this in the future of our project can be a problem. There is often a trade-off conflict between security and functionality. Companies believe that security is not a priority, as I commented before, and when you ask developers if they are using some tools for analyzing the security, for testing the security of application, a very small percentage of answers affirmatively. And well, security basically nowadays, there are companies that are interested in adopting security best practice in organization and transmitting this to developers teams and so on, but there are a lot of work for at this moment. There are many companies that not are realizing this, and there are a lot of work to do in this aspect. Other of the problem for testing security is that there are basically two approach. They are for blue team approach. Basically, is testing the security of applications from the defensive point of view, and the other approach is the red team, que basically is analyze the security application from the attacker point of view. Blue teams basically refers to an internal security team that you can have in your organization and defense against real attackers, for example. And the red teams basically are external entities, external users that test the security of your application. And well, the red team basically accomplish this by emulating the behaviors and techniques of likely attackers in the most realistic way possible. The practice is similar to penetration testing the penetration testing is say that the tools that use this is for red teams. Well, when we are developing, basically we can introduce flaws in our application in two types. Basically, flaws that can be understood looking at the program itself, for example, errors in logic or in programming logic. And the other one is problems in the interaction with the platform or other service and systems that interact with the application. Basically, at this point, we can detect problems like buffer overflow and specific vulnerabilities in web applications like SQL injection, cross-site scripting, cross-site SQL forgery, and so on. You may have heard terms like buffer overflow, use after three, stop corruption. These terms are related with memory flows. It's very useful, for example, in C and C++ programs, found these errors. When you program with a scripting language, like Python or PHP, for example, memory management is delegated to the interpreter or operating system. And the developer can make mistakes related to the management of memory buffers, for example. This is a typical buffer overflow vulnerability in a C program. The vulnerability in this case exists because the buffer can be overflow if the user input is bigger than 8 bytes. And at this point, every C and C++ developer must know the buffer overflow problem before they do the coding. A lot of bugs generated in most cases can be exploited as a result of buffer overflow nowadays. because most of the servers and the tools that we use at low level are using C++ language for memory management, connecting with other application or the service and so on. For example, in exploit database, and this overflow evidently is a problem because, for example, if we go to exploit database, you can find a lot of exploits that attacks this vulnerability. Well, in order to know, for example, when we are working with open source projects, for example, it's very useful using external dependencies for another project. And in order to know dependencies and start a security evaluation in open source projects, you need to answer these questions. What open source components you are using? What versions you are currently running and where? How these components can be updated and where do you get the update? What do you need to do to install them? All these questions are the basis for know the state of the open source project in general and where the security is a critical topic. Nowadays, most of web apps have dependencies available in core repositories like npm for JavaScript, Maven for Java projects, and PyPy for Python. The using of open source projects is accelerating. For example, in the last year, Java package doubled. And NPM added 200,000 new package the last year. Only the last year. And at this moment, NPM is the bigger repository nowadays. And it will have almost 1 million package in NPM. Other critical aspect is the, as I commented before, is the using of third-party libraries. Instead of creating applications from scratch, basically today's developers start with open source components and then copy, extend, and glue them together with the application that they are creating. The 80% is 30-party code for external libraries. That is means that open source library and frameworks make up the vast majority of the source code used by companies today. The main problem with components is that reusable components, when you try to introduce a component that is reusable in your project, this is a good idea, but reusable components originate reusable vulnerabilities. And nowadays, exploiting a library can potentially exploit many applications. This can be because the library is very common in specific applications, or has a very high reputation in between developers. Basically, the 19% of the attack surface of an application may be due to third-party code. In this report, for example, made by SNCC, we can see the direct and indirect dependency distribution across ecosystem, in different ecosystems. Most dependencies in NPM, Maven, and Ruby, for example, are indirect dependencies requested by the few libraries explicitly defined. SNCC has scanned over 1 million snapshot projects and has discovered that vulnerabilities in indirect dependencies in JavaScript, for example, in JavaScript projects, account for almost 80% of overall vulnerabilities. And in other language, like Python, this percentage is reduced to 10%. If we work with GitHub, for example, GitHub provides the option to provide information, for example, to know other dependencies in the dependency graph section. We can see the dependencies of our project and when potential security vulnerabilities are found in our project, GitHub has the capacity to provide this. It shows a message that this dependency can be dangerous from the security point of view. Also, for detecting dependencies in our projects, we have the OWASP dependency check projects that basically identifies project dependencies and checks if there are any known vulnerabilities in these dependencies. Basically, provides plugins for Jenkins, Maven, Gradle that identifies project dependencies and checks if there are any known vulnerabilities. For example, basically, this tool, it provides a report where you can see for each dependency, we can see if it has a vulnerability, we can see the critical level of the vulnerability and all the information related with the vulnerability, the version that is vulnerable, and so on. Well, SNIG, now I'm going to comment what are the main services we can use when we are developing an application that is starting, for example. What are the services that we can use for detecting vulnerabilities? For example, SNIG is a service that focus in detecting vulnerabilities in dependencies. Not only offers tool to detect known vulnerabilities in different kind of projects, also helps users, developers, fix these issues using guide upgrades and open source patch that SNIG creates. This service, SNIG, has its own vulnerability database, which gets its data from the NVD database, the National Vulnerability Database. Basically, SNIG approach is to scale the management of known vulnerabilities through the organization with better collaboration tools and integration with GitHub repositories, for example. And when this tool detects that a specific dependency has a vulnerability, it shows the information, and you can open, for example, a fix for doing a pull request for a specific vulnerability. If we are working with Python, for example, we have available a specific service like PApp and Safety that allow us to analyze the dependencies and library that our project is using. Internally, these tools, what it does is analyze the requirements project file in Python and check for each module if it is using the latest version, or you need update a specific package, specific module based in the vulnerabilities information. Safety, for example, is a command line tool for checking your local environment, reading basically the requirements the requirements file of the Python project. Safety also can scan the local and virtual environment for security issues and detect outdated libraries or libraries that may have some kind of vulnerability. There are other interesting projects like require.io. This is a service that allows to detect libraries and dependencies in our projects that are not updated. If it detects an unsafe version for a particular package, it will display the corresponding insecure flag. When examining the five different ecosystems, that is PHP, Java, JavaScript, Python, and Go, we see an increasing trend in the number of vulnerabilities disclosed across all of them, since the year 2014. In this year, the number of vulnerabilities is increasing each year in all ecosystems. And last year, for example, the vulnerability count grew by 30% regarding the 2017 year. If we are working, for example, with JavaScript, an NPM repository, we can see the latest vulnerabilities discovered for certain version of package and the level of criticality. In NPM, we can see all this information for open package and components that are very common, useful, using in JavaScript projects. For example, some package have vulnerability related with regular expression, denial of service. This vulnerability has a special impact in Node.js applications because it takes down the main thread that is processing client requests. For example, when you give it some input that takes a very long time to process it, can produce a denial of service because the server takes a long time for processing requests. This is a very common vulnerability that we can find in specific versions of some package, and this is one of the more critical vulnerability in Node.js application. Another common attack vector that is consistently featuring the OWASP top 10 over the last years is SQL injection. Looking across the last 3 years, we can see that main ecosystems, NPM, Maven, and PHP, have peaks during different years. Maven libraries, for example, lead the number of SQL injection vulnerabilities disclosed in both 2016 and 2016 and 2017 years. From the user's perspective, it's interesting to gain insights into how they learn about vulnerabilities in their application dependencies in order to respond to potential threats as they are discovered. Almost 30% of users don't have any proactive or automatic way to find out about new discovered vulnerabilities. They don't have any way to discover new vulnerabilities or vulnerabilities that are public, but the developer doesn't have information about this, and developers basically don't worry because they haven't known that exists. And only 60% of users confirm that they use at least a dependency management or a scanning tool to help surface vulnerabilities. This is another problem that we have. For example, in Python, we have the problem of find malicious Python packets. This is a problem that security researchers have discovered mainly in the last 2 years. Some of these malicious packets, what it does is download a file in a hidden way and execute a process in the background that creates an interactive shell without logging. Obviously, these packets have been removed from the repository by the PyPI security team, but we might find this problem in the future. We don't know, but maybe in the future this problem we can fight this problem. Well, at this moment we have made a review. What are the main tools for different what are the kind of vulnerabilities that we can find in open source projects? And at this moment I'm going to talk about tools. Basically, we have two kind of tools for static and dynamic. In order to analyze the code developers for a specific project in the organization. Basically, these tools have the capacity to detect potential dangerous patterns. In this table, we can see a comparison between dynamic and static. Basically, dynamic is oriented to black box testing, and static is oriented to white box security testing. Static requires source code, and dynamic requires running the application, basically, in a environment development. And from the cost point of view, the static is less expensive. Fish vulnerabilities and dynamic normally it has a higher cost. Well, for static, as I comment, it's oriented to code scanning for discovering potential dangerous pattern. And for example, we can use very useful tools like Find Security Bugs and SonarQube. These tools are the most useful tool that organizations are using for testing the security application from a static point of view. Basically, Find Security Bugs is oriented to Java and JavaScript projects, and is an open source project that can be installed in your environment, in your server, and you can be installed in, for example, when you are using Java, you can install it as plugin in Eclipse, IntelliJ, Android Studio. And for example, it has the capacity to detect potential JDBC injection. You are using, for example, Spring with the JDBC connector. For Oracle, for example, it has the capacity to detect this kind of vulnerability. In the tool documentation, you can see specific use cases that the tool has the capacity to detect for different programming language, such as Java, Scala, and JavaScript. If we're working, for example, with Java or PHP, we have available specific plugins in SonarQube. Using Sonar, for example, can be one of the first steps when trying to improve the code of our application and discover areas in which it is probably necessary a refactor, for example. For example, here in Sonar, is detecting that we are using the system.jc method call function in Java code. That is the using of this method can be considered a security fail in the application because automatically this method call the garbage collector and at this moment if they are the application is executing this function can call the garbage collector and destroy the memory that is using in a specific moment. For example, for each language with Sonar, we can see the rules defined by T, vulnerability, bug, security hotspot, code smell. There are different rules that we can that Sonar has the capacity to detect. And for example, we are using GitLab, continuous integration, continuous deployment. You can analyze your source code for known vulnerabilities using static application security testing. Basically, GitLab has the capacity to detect special use cases. For example, if your code has a potential dangerous attribute in a class or unsafe code that can lead to malicious code execution. Also, have the capacity to, for example, if your application is vulnerable to cross-site scripting attacks, it has the capacity to detect of all these cases. GitLab also support many languages and frameworks. The following table shows which language package managers and frameworks are supported for static analysis. For example, for C++, it support Flow Finder. For Node.js, it supports Node.js scan. And for Python, it supports the Bandit. Later I will comment some of these tools. GitLab supports both static and dynamic analysis. This is a screen capture of the security dashboard that GitLab provides. The security dashboard is a good place to get an overview of all the security vulnerabilities in your groups or and projects. Well, as I commented before, we have a specific static analysis tools. For example, if we are working with Node.js, we have the Node.js scan as a static analysis tool that can detect security problems, insecure code, and obsolete libraries with vulnerabilities. Basically, it's a Python script that, when executed, returns a report with everything it has found that can cause security problems. Basically, what this does is checking the security, rules that are defined in a XML file. And this script shows alert in case you are using, for example, the eval function that is dangerous in JavaScript. Or in general, JavaScript, the functions that can be dangerous. For example, it allows detecting vulnerabilities of type cross-site scripting, where user entries are not currently validating. And in Python, we have Bandit. Bandit is a static code analysis tool designed to find common security issues in Python code. It's written in Python. And it can be easily extended with your own security policy. It can integrate. You are working with Jenkins, for example. You can integrate this tool in your continuous iteration, continuous the deployment pipelines in Jenkins. Bandit basically is a tool that can connect information about user input and sensitive code to detect when the operations performed are dangerous in your source code. Supports many different tests to detect many security issues in Python code. Basically, it contains a blacklist of that checks for a number of Python modules known to have security implications. The following blacklist basically are run against any import statement or calls that are found in the Skeins code base. For example, it has a plugin for detecting a typical SQL injection. This plugin looks for strings that can be vulnerable and resemble SQL statements that are involved in some form of a string building operation. Well, running static checks on your code is the first step to detect vulnerabilities that can put the security of your project at risk. Once deployed, the application in your development environment, your application is exposed to a new category of possible attacks, such as cross-site scripting or broken authentication, this kind of vulnerabilities. And at this point is where a dynamic application security testing comes into place. For dynamic analysis, for example, we can use tools like OWASP ZAP. Basically, it's a proxy between your application and the client, and other tools like Bootsuite is another proxy. OWASP, for example, WhatsApp is an integrated penetration testing tool for finding vulnerabilities in web application that acts as a proxy between the browser client and the application server, intercepting requests for detecting fault configurations. And for example, for detecting for SQL injection, we have other tools like SQL Map. SQL Map is one of the most useful tools for detecting SQL injection vulnerabilities. And with this tool, you can discover table names, download the database, and perform SQL queries automatically. To do this, the tool allows a request to the parameters of the URL, either through a GET or POST request. Basically, detects if for some parameter in the URL of the domain is vulnerable because the parameters are not being validated correctly in the backend. These are the main steps that the tools follow for SQL injection process. Basically, the first step is searching if the URL is vulnerable to attack, and if it detects that URL is vulnerable, basically it uses many techniques for adding specific SQL queries that transform the original query. And once the tool has discovered that the database or application is vulnerable, it has the capacity to discover table and columns from database. Well, what we can do to improve the security of open source projects? Well, basically we can do all the same thing as we do when building other kind of software. The big difference is that in open source we do it collaboratively. There are a strong collaboration in open source project. The main difference between proprietary and open source projects vulnerability is that in open source project we have the advantages that vulnerabilities are reported and verified and often suggest fix and also available, which are more easy to find and fix than trying to scan the code yourself. In open source projects, typically there are many people contributing. Sometimes there are culture of the code is more important than the specification. And this is an important because in specific projects, there are many less market pressure to put security first. At this point, it's important beware that security is a process, not a product. Security needs to be given equal weight with scalability, performance, usability, and all the other design factors that matter to your users. At this point, it's important not wait at the end of the process of developing to audit the code. I recommend starting the 18% complete in development phase. We can use specific methodologies like software development lifecycle. With this methodology, for example, we can in each phase of the development, requirements, design, coding, testing, and deployment, we can introduce the security testing in each one. For example, in the design phase of the methodology, we could realize a risk analysis that includes, for example, threat modeling, security requirements, security test, and pen testing. The idea with the methodology is detecting and fixing issues in each phase in the development process, from the design phase to until release the application in production. And using this methodology, finding an issue in your application development process has less impact on cost and resources than finding the same issue later in the process. For example, if we have an open source project and we want to certify, for example, from the security point of view, we can use the Linux Foundation Core Infrastructure Initiative. Basically, it is a way for it provides best practice from the security point of view, and developers can quickly access which open source projects are following best practice, and as a result, are more likely to produce higher quality security software. For example, we can use this project. If your project needs to certify, for example, you can do it with this tool. Projects can voluntarily self-certify by using this web application to explain how they follow each best practice from the security point of view. You can check, for example, this repository from GitHub, and you can find a lot of information for security requirements and common type of security vulnerabilities. And finally, I'm going to comment the final when we detect an issue in our project. What are the tools for reporting vulnerabilities? For example, we can use, for example, GitHub issues that are available in GitHub project, public and private. And also we can use, for example, Buzilla for basically it's a server software designed to help you manage software development, and you can install it in your own server. Basically, Buzilla needs, for example, a database server, a web server, and Ampere. With GitHub, for example, you can create automated security fix when you discover an issue in a open security project. In GitHub, also of the problems that we have is the confidential information related with database credentials, infrastructure configuration, or hard-coded information in the source code itself. For example, these are some files which are probably always considered sensitive and shouldn't be added in source control. For example, private keys, history files, log files, web configuration files. With these files, we need to be aware that can be you can commit this file in a GitHub private or public repository. GitHub search also is a useful feature and can be used to share sensitive data on public and private repositories. Also, we can use specific tools for detecting confidential information in GitHub repositories. We have Door Share tool. Basically, it's a Python script that can search through your repository or your organization user repositories. This script provides a basic functionality to automate the search on your repository against the doors specified in a file. We have a collection of GitHub doors that can reveal sensitive personal and organization information such as private key, credentials, authentication tokens, and so on. And if you have detected all this information in a GitHub repository, you can remove data, this kind of data from a repository. If you commit sensitive data, such as a password or a key, you can remove this from the history. It's not the best solution, but well, it's a intermediate solution, because maybe in a specific time you have shared a password or a key with your development team, for example. And finally, for conclusions, from a open source maintainer point of view, you should offer secure release of your code and provide a communication strategy to those developers in order to possibly impact other projects and applications. And from a developer point of view, the developer has the responsibility to understand the direct and indirect dependencies in your project, including any security flaws that might exist in that dependency tree. And it's important to consider reading security guidelines and adopting security best practice. And that's all. This is finally a report. For example, SNCC has a lot of information related to the state of the open security open source security in this year, and this is a recommend reading before attending this presentation. And that's all. Thank you very much. Do you have any question?
Well, it doesn't look like there are any questions now. So, well, thank you very much. And
thank you.
You'll be available for questions later around here for a little bit.
Yeah, I will be there.
Okay, then. Well, thank you.
Thank you.